They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Joining us today on the Commons, we have Jan Bergman, all the way from Florida. He's going to update us on what has happened and what's been going on with the condo that collapsed. As you know, we have covered that story for the last 3 weeks, and I don't think the story is over with yet, is it, Jan?
It definitely is not. I mean, they said they recovered the last body yesterday, so the death toll is up to 98, and they have stopped doing it.
So they're not looking for bodies anymore, huh?
Obviously, there are none missing or whatever. They said they have it all, and all the debris is gone. You only see the foundation with the walls of the parking garage. That's what's left.
That's what's left. Oh, my goodness. But do we know what caused it? Why it collapsed?
No, and you know, don't laugh. But you know, the local congresswoman made sure that they have $32 million in federal funds to investigate the cause of the collapse.
You know, Jan, I know that there are a lot of people with a lot of ideas and a lot of thoughts about what exactly happened, but I think we need to know exactly because we don't want this to happen again. You have to know what the deal is.
See, in a way, it was foreseeable, Shu. You know, when we had the Select Committee and Task Force meeting in 2003 and 2004, it was all addressed, you know, that there has to be a certification by engineers and by architects. There have to be reserve reports, you know, so you know how to properly fund the reserves. You know, it was all done. Julio put it in his bill. And in 2008, it passed. Everything was fine. And then in 2010, they repealed all these things because all the lawyers and realtors said it is too burdensome for the condos, for the condo owners.
Boy, where have I heard that one before, Jan?
Oh, after the collapse, immediately, they were all in the media, in the TV stations, and, oh, we always said something needs to be done and blah, blah, blah. Exactly the same folks who opposed in Tallahassee any kind of law that would have helped preventing this collapse.
Yeah, that's typical, too.
You know, the Community Association Institute, their attorneys, their lobbyists, the realtors, everybody, the developers, not to forget the developers. You know, they screamed bloody murder. But see, this is the way it is.
It's a different day, it's a different story.
It's easier to pay $100 more a month instead of getting one day a letter in your mailbox saying you have 30 days to pay $25,000.
Yeah.
Because this is what is happening with no mandatory reserves. And you know, if you know or we know that since 2018, the people in the Champlain Tower South knew that their engineering report said very clearly that there is serious structural damage that needs to be taken care of ASAP. Okay, understood. But here comes the problem. These repairs cost real money. In the case of the Champlain Tower South, it was an estimated $16 million.
All right? Okay.
Their whole reserve fund for all reserves, for everything, was $740,000. Okay?
Okay.
What does that tell you? That they're short more than $15 million, right? And with 212 unit owners, you don't have to be Einstein to figure out how much money that would be for each unit owner. Now, these condos there were sold for beaucoup bucks. You know, one person bought a condo there a week before the collapse.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
For $700,000.
Okay.
Right? I mean, well, he didn't move in yet, so he was lucky. Right? But that tells me that somebody who can pay $700,000 for a condominium can easily pay monthly $100 more for reserve funds. I don't think that person will be hurting.
Jan,
so,
if
that's
okay. Structural damages. Exactly what structural damages? And when do we make sure that the building is built without structural damages? That the building is being built safely? And one of my problems is I hate spending money. I'm just like everybody else. If I'm going to pay money, I want to know I'm getting something for it. So every time I go to Fairfax County in Virginia, and I don't know where you go, and I need to do anything, I have to get a permit, a building permit or something. And I have to pay the money before they say, oh, yeah, okay, you can do that. So what's going on with that money? Where is that money going? Why are they not hiring inspectors to come and make sure that the building is...
Well, it's government. Hello.
No, I understand it's government. I'm fully aware and cognizant that it's government. But whenever I talk to people about it, they don't have the money. Wait a minute. What are they doing with the money? What are they charging us for? What are they doing with the money?
Here starts the problem. You know, as inspectors, you know, the ones who doing...
I know. Some of them have taken money and just passed it by.
Nah, that's not really what I want to say. Yes, that was at that time, and it's well known.
Yeah, it is.
Funny enough, the records of that time in that area, they all mysteriously disappeared. Okay? But the problem is that the government promotes people out of their own ranks that may not even have the qualification.
That's a problem.
So, you know, the engineer who inspects should be a licensed architect or a licensed engineer, somebody who has the knowledge and is specialized on these kind of things.
I agree.
Right?
I agree.
So if they promote somebody who worked as a helper and did paperwork, suddenly he now is the inspector, right?
Yeah. So they're
what does he know?
Yeah. No, that's a huge problem, and that's an excellent point. That is something that we need to keep in mind. So, Mr. Whoever the hell you are in the government, you want my money because you want to give me permission to build something, then make sure that you're making sure that it's being done properly and that your inspectors are qualified.
Right.
Not Cousin Joe, who just happened to walk into town and needed a job. And so you gave them a cushy job.
Who is the brother of the senator or something like that? You know, that's the way they do it.
Yeah.
You know, and see, this is as well the problem We wanted reserve studies done by qualified people, by people who know what the heck they're doing. Well, our nice service providers, you know, watered it down and said, oh, a reserve study has to be done, okay? It doesn't say who does the reserve study. So what can be done and what actually has happened here, and please don't get me wrong about New York cab drivers, right? But here is a guy who drove 40 years a cab in New York, right? Now he retires and moves to Florida in a condo, and because nobody else wants a job, he quickly becomes the president, you know? And the president says, oh, hello, you know, we need a reserve study. You know, hiring somebody for a reserve study, you know, that is really expensive. Costs us $12,000 or something. Jesus, we can save that money. So I'm the one doing the reserve study. You know, I think the pool, oh, has a life expectancy of 15 years and costs $50,000, right? So we put that in the reserve. And so on. Do you think that guy knows what a roof costs or how to do structural damage or electrical problems? No. This reserve study is absolutely useless. And so are the reserves put aside using this reserve study. You know, it's just common sense what we're dealing here. But since the so-called service providers want the money in their pockets, they allow laws to be passed, or they actually help passing laws that prevent that the money goes to the right places instead of going in their bank accounts. That's the whole deal.
You know what you just described and what I've been saying, and you underscored what I've been saying for years, that the HOA condo concept is a flawed concept. And I get yelled at. It is not a flawed concept. Don't say that. It is. It just is not relying on accurate data. And this is, we can see we've just lost hundreds of people because we don't know what we're doing. Joe the cab driver from New York is not an expert. He doesn't know what he's doing.
And see, the problem is, you know, people obviously don't realize that they are gambling with their lives.
Yeah.
You know, Eric Glazer wrote a blog this week saying, you know, if you pay low maintenance fees, you're living a lie. You know, because this is what they're doing. They want to get reelected, so they put very little money in the budget, you know, barely anything in the reserves, or even tell the people, please vote down the reserves, you know, so you don't have to pay reserves, right? And then there is no money.
You know, I used to get, when I would say on the show, make sure that you fund your reserves, don't withhold your money, because homeowners are stuck, they're being fined, they're being punished for all kinds of stupid stuff, and the only thing they have is to hire an attorney at a huge amount of money, which they don't have, or withhold their assessments. And I tell them, whatever you do, do not withhold your assessments. And they say they don't like paying assessments because the money sits there, it is not supervised, and then somebody steals a big pot of money and it's gone. And then they have to come up with special assessments to cover all of that.
Which is absolutely correct. And here in Florida, the Division of Condominium is totally failing to do the job because this is a financial issue. Complaints are filed by the piles and nothing happens. They don't do anything. After 6 weeks, they send the complainant back a form letter saying, our investigation turned out no findings of wrongdoing in your case.
Because nobody knows what the hell's going on.
These people have never investigated anything.
No. Well, even if they did, what are they going to investigate? What are they going to investigate? Are they qualified to do anything?
Well, you would think in a way it's not, you know, you don't need to be Einstein to figure out if money is stolen from the reserve fund. Sure.
No, you don't need to do that. But how
yeah,
much
but
money
if
is
you don't
there?
Do anything about it, even if you see it, then people know they can get away with it. And they do. You know, when we said, you know, we put out a list what really needs to be done in order to avoid another catastrophe, right?
Yes.
Okay, here it comes. Oh, we have to pay reserve funds, and then some treasurer or board president steals the money. So what do then? Okay? First of all, we passed laws a few years back that there have to be a bond or insurance against embezzlement. But guess what?
It hasn't happened.
Two-thirds of these boards don't have one. And when the money is stolen and they say, okay, no, now we go to the insurance, they'll realize, oh, heck, our board didn't do that. Because laws are not being enforced in this state and in the whole nation not.
I was going to say, it's not just Florida.
No, it's everywhere. I mean, I talk with people from other states as well. And
I know.
It's the same game all over the place.
It is. It really is.
And it is the same people who oppose any kind of law that might help prevent these problems and may close the loopholes which are open. Because make no mistake, Shu, these condos have budgets of 2-3 million sometimes,
yeah.
Right? You have board members who don't even know how many zeros go in a million.
Yeah.
You know, and then, oh, heck, you know, why should I rob a bank? You know, in a bank I get $20,000 if I'm lucky and then the FBI is after me, you know. If I steal $200,000 from the board, and even if I get caught, you know, the judge slaps me on the wrist and says, oh, please don't ever do that again, right?
Yeah.
So it's an incentive to steal.
Again, Jan, we go back to what I keep saying. This is a flawed concept.
Yes. Hey, I know that since 20 years.
So do I know that, but why do we still have them? Why are we still building them? Why?
Why? You know, it's not the building.
Of course it's a building. Of course it's a building.
No, it's a system that is flawed. You know,
which is why are we building them to feed the system that is flawed? I agree with you. It is the system is flawed. The whole concept, the whole idea of building things like this is flawed.
Why does it work in other countries where they have no association system, where they have the same kind
Bingo.
Of building, the same high rises, the same places directly at the beach?
Right.
You know. And there are no such problems.
Right.
You know, my mom owned a condo at the North Sea since 1973. There was never any big deal. And the only time they paid for an attorney was an attorney had to change in the court some records. And that was 200 marks at that time. They never needed an attorney again. Here you have condo buildings. They have a budget of $400,000 annually for legal fees,
mm-hmm.
but they only put $100,000 back in their reserve funds.
And
that
why do we have that? Because
the
attorneys tell them to do it.
Yes.
And so it's a flawed concept. I keep going back to this. It's a flawed concept.
But see, this is the issue. Then the CAI and these attorneys come up with surveys,
uh-huh.
you know, saying everybody is happy.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is BS as it can be, because they are calling the people for their opinion where they know exactly the answer.
Yep.
Right? So if the CAI calls a CAI member for their opinion, do you honestly believe they would say, oh, I hate this system, it doesn't work?
They're not going to do that. You're absolutely correct. But why are we listening
we,
to CAI?
We did a survey in 2012, which we distributed through the major newspapers here in Florida. We didn't know who will answer. We didn't know who reads it and who is willing to answer. But we get from all over Florida more than 1,200 answers. Right?
Right.
And guess what?
They don't like it.
92% were unhappy with their association. You know, we had a lot of other questions, but that was the main issue. You know, then here comes the CAI and says, 86% are very happy, you know. Look, I could get you a survey. I would just ask our members for their opinion. And I can assure you, not one of them will tell me, HOA, that's God's gift to mankind, right? So they will all answer, I hate it. So I can put out a survey result saying, you know, I have 100% I hate it answers. You know, this is nonsense. You know, and then you have these board members who are power hungry and, you know, who never had business experience in their lives, and now suddenly they're big hooplas. Oh, I call me president, you know, and reign over a $2 million budget, right? So they don't want to give up power, and they will see that they pay enough money to these attorneys to protect them against any attack from any owner who feel unjustly treated.
The attorneys, they lie. They're building all this thing on lies because that's the only way you're going to get people to say, yes, I don't like it, but it protects my property values. No, it does not.
No, it does exactly the opposite. That's what we saw with the economic crash in 2007-2008. The value of the properties inside these community associations lost property values faster than you could say yay.
Yeah, no, I know. And where we've gotten rid of the association, the property values have gone up because the association impeaches your ability to make improvements to your place. I mean, your roof is leaking. Oh, you cannot replace the roof because you do not have the same roof tiles that they had 50 years ago when they. That's the Ferran case. That's what started the whole thing. No, you cannot replace your roof. You have to get the identical tiles. They found some that were very, very close, and the association said no.
And why? You know, I had just recently a case. You know, the guy had to replace his roof. His roof was done, right? So it started leaking and things like that. So he got some bids from some roofers, and somebody suggested that, you know, they have a real nice tin roof, which is safe against any kind of hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is red like the tiles on the old roofs before, and it even looks similar. You know? Well, guess what? The association said, no, can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, so the guy tried to get the tiles everybody else had. Guess what?
They're not
available. They were 20 years old, and they're not doing these tiles anymore.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So he went back to the board and said, okay, this is the only kind of tile I can get that looks even similar to the one which was used 20 years ago, right? Well, no, you have to use the same tile. Well, then tell me where to get it. That's when it came close to a lawsuit.
How about all the stupidity, Jan? How about the sheer insanity when you have places in the Northwest where the original houses were built with wood tiles and they need to be replaced, and the board says you have to replace them with wood tiles, and you have all of these fires, the forest fires, all of these fires that just keep erupting. These houses go up in flames in no time at all. But the homeowners who put in a new roof wanted something safer, but they were not allowed to do it because the HOA would not let them. So you had
we all know that these new metal roofs will withstand hurricanes of wind up to 180 miles per hour, right? Which so far, thank God, we haven't had here in Florida, right? But they disallow owners to replace their roofs with these metal roofing tiles, you know, which would protect the house. This is how stupid it is, you know? And let's make one thing very clear. You know, when you read the newspapers, you watch your local TV station, everybody is talking about the collapse of this condo and how horrible, what a catastrophe, and blah, 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 right?
I've never seen it happen before, Jan.
Right, but, you know, we have seen cases where they were evacuated shortly before the collapse. You know, let's make very clear, there have been very serious problems in other condos before, only that were caught before something bad like this happened.
I'm talking about the rest of the world, Jan, where using this kind of construction the way it always
do you
is
think
done.
Anybody else in the world builds a whole house on 2x4s?
You know, there's a problem with the construction. There's a problem. Also, there's a problem with the material, because I did a very short and very quick research on this kind of construction, which is the way everything is constructed where I grew up. And I sent you pictures of these high-rises and these buildings that are in the Mediterranean, on the Mediterranean beach, on the sand, on the whole thing. And they've been there for 100 years or more, and they're still standing there.
I told you about my mom's condo. You know,
you did.
It only has 8 stories, right? It was built in 1973. Okay, over the years they got a new roof. They had the facade kind of maintained and partially redone. You know, they got new windows, but in a reasonable time with reasonable payments. You know, but they don't have an association board or some. Excuse my language. I'm sorry. I nearly said something.
As long as I didn't hear it.
Yeah, okay. You know.
So, I didn't hear it, so I don't have to delete it.
And so this building stands strong and nice, you know, and if we wouldn't have had the pandemic, we would have been there last summer visiting, right?
Yeah.
You know, I had already booked the flight ticket. Because it's a very nice apartment, it's 7 stories high, overlooking the North Sea, an exceptional view, right?
Sounds beautiful, sounds lovely.
And yeah, well, I have use rights there, you know, after my mom died. You know, so, but my brother owns it because he's around there. So that's okay. But there is no real problem. You know, here, yeah. There are problems with the elevators,
yeah.
And there are problems here, and there are problems there. But let me make one thing very clear. This country is built on replacement quality. You know, a lot of the stuff you're buying has a very limited lifespan. And it is built that way in order that you have to replace it and buy new.
Disposable.
While in other countries, still nowadays, it's quality that counts. You may pay a few dollars more, but, you know, you can rely that the part you bought will last a few years longer. You know, this is the same with housing here in Florida. You know, every idiot knows that we have hurricanes, and hurricanes can do serious damage to your house, right?
Right.
So why are you allowing every time after a hurricane hit that they rebuild the demolished houses with the same kind of shitty quality that caused the house to be seriously damaged at the hurricane?
So why do you think I've been calling them houses made of cardboard and scotch tape? My listeners will call me up and they say, it was made of cardboard and scotch tape. Yes, it is made of cardboard and scotch tape.
Well, you know, I have to tell you the truth. When we moved here to Florida in 95, you know, we were looking to buy a home, right?
Yeah.
So we looked at an HOA, which I didn't even know what an HOA is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my wife at that time, she liked a house in an HOA, which she said is really nice and fine. And it looked nice from the outside, inside, everything was fine. I said, okay, hey, we did. She had two choices. I said, no, a one-story house, we're getting older. One day there is a day when we can't climb up the stairs anymore. So all even floor. So we bought that, right? But we saw only the model home. Now, this house was being built, and we saw more or less every day or two the progress of the building. You know, I tell you, I got scared when I saw that inside these walls were only 2x4s.
Yeah.
You know, then they put some wire mesh on it.
Yeah.
And then they put some cement on it from the outside, so it looked like you had a real wall, steady wall, right?
Yep.
I said, are you serious? Well, that's the way we build here in Florida. I said, considering that you have so often hurricanes, I mean, I have to say, we lived there 10 years, and we had hurricanes going by, but no really close calls. You know, so we were happy, we sold the place, and when I bought the house we're living in now, I made sure that we have real walls and a sturdy roof and everything.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, funny enough, they don't allow you here to make buildings like they had at the Atlantic Wall. You know, they still tried to demolish them and they didn't succeed. But the construction regulations actually limit how safe you can build your house.
That's unreal. That is absolutely unreal.
That's the way it is. You know, there are certain rules and regulations. This is what you can do and this is what you cannot do. And blah, blah, blah. I had a lot of conversation with our builder, you know, who I have to say did a real good job. But, you know, this is an issue. You know, we have not too far from us, near Daytona Beach, there is a mobile home community, right?
Those things.
And every time we have a hurricane coming and going here, you know, the next day you read that mobile home community was demolished, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now with our money, we pay to the insurance, they put them the same stuff there again, just waiting for the next hurricane to come and destroy it again.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever I talk to people, Jan, and I say something about the construction, the stuff they're using, and you know what I'm told? It's cheap. I go, I know it's cheap. And you're going to get what you paid
what
for.
I
it's crap.
From a building department, we have to make sure that the houses are affordable for people who don't have much money.
And so we're just, Jan. It just makes absolutely zero sense whatsoever. It makes zero sense.
Yeah, but that's the way the society works. You know, and when you try to talk some common sense in Tallahassee, you know, you get insulted even.
It's pretty bad.
You know, the weird part is that exactly the same people you meet year for year in Tallahassee opposing owner-friendly laws are the same ones you see now on TV and read about their statements in the media saying this is long overdue, it should have been done, and blah, 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 blah. You know,
yeah.
These are exactly the names. I know every one of them. And every one of them I met in Tallahassee opposing laws that may have prevented this catastrophe.
You know, your house is your biggest asset, your most expensive asset, and we treat it like garbage.
Right. And you know, when you live in these places, you know, if you live in a private home, you know there will be repairs and you have to pay for it, right?
Right.
So you have to see that there is. If you live in one of these condo buildings, you know, you can't pay for it yourself because you're part of a community. You know, you're a shareholder or whatever you want to call that thing, right? So then you should have to pay, lay back some money in the reserves. So if the repair shows up, that there is the money. Because do you know how many people have lost their homes because
right.
they couldn't pay the special assessment?
Right, right.
You know,
I know.
Which came, you know, you have to pay within 30 days this amount of money.
Right.
You know, they got liens, they got foreclosed upon, and they were kicked out of their homes.
Right.
You know, but if there would have been reserve funds, you know, this wouldn't be necessary.
Again, a flawed concept. You know, I'm tired of being told by proponents that, oh, it's not a flawed concept. Don't you dare say that. That is not right. Well, that is exactly what this is. And every example you're talking about just underscores the fact that it is a flawed concept.
Well, you know, the whole concept is flawed for one single reason. Financially, it can ruin you without it being your fault.
Right.
You know, because some board members, and you know, they're good board members and they're bad board members, like in every profession and like everything.
Right.
But there are often board members who have no business experience, and even if they mean well, they don't know how to handle it.
But that's the
You know, point. See, the thing is, for example, it starts with property insurance, right? So the building has to be insured. But the lower we insure the building, the lower is our premium. So why should we really insure it to the real value? We never have that. We'll have that problem anyway. So we save every year. We save $10,000. Wow, big savings. Hey, good going, right? Right. Only when it happens, then there is a problem because, you know, in this case, the whole building was insured for $45 million. You know, in our time and money and cost of living, $45 million possibly buys you the garage and the first floor, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
You know, there has to be somebody who says, okay, to rebuild it, we need so and so much money, so we have to ensure with all the new code rules and everything, we have to make sure that your insurance is high enough to replace this building if something happens. And you know that happened in 2005. You know, when Wilma devastated South Florida, and when you flew over South Florida, you saw a wave of blue roofs.
Yeah.
Right? So here came the problem. When we traveled through the state, you know, asking that owners should see the reason for mandatory reserve funds, hey, they wanted to kill us. You know, you nuts, we're long dead before we need a new roof. Why should we pay for it? And blah, 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 blah. Right?
Which is a flawed concept.
Yes. So here came Wilma, right? And Wilma tells you, I destroy your roof. Now you have to replace the roof. You know, your building is insured, let's say, with $10 million, right? So your 5% deductible is actually $500,000. So if you need a new roof, which will cost you $1.2 million, you still have to pay $500,000 out of your own pocket before the insurance even kicks in.
Yeah.
And these people didn't have $500,000. And you know how many people got foreclosed on and kicked out of their homes because they couldn't pay the special assessment levied by their association to replace the roof. This is what people obviously don't understand, don't want to understand, and they rather have a nice dinner for $100 with their family instead of paying money in the reserve fund. Only in the end, they're not only having no dinner, but they will sleep under the bridge. And that is what they don't understand.
No, I know, Jan, and that's why I keep saying it is a flawed concept. It just doesn't work. You're going against the human nature. People humanly don't want to do the things that you're talking about. They
right.
would rather
and I can assure you already that we will have a lot of resistance from the owners who don't care about their safety. You know, minimum not unlike them. It hits them themselves.
It's not that they don't care. There's something in human nature, and I'm going to go back to human nature. We're immortal. We're not going to die. Nothing's going to happen to us. We've seen that year and year and year and year again.
You saw it here in Florida when you had for years the discussion about high-rises in need of fire sprinkler systems. You know? And, you know, the attorneys, they scream bloody murder. You can't, you know, these poor owners, they should now pay for this expensive fire sprinkler systems, you know. They wanted to postpone it as a requirement to 2028, right? Well, actually, Rick Scott vetoed that bill, thank God. You know, because remember in London was this big fire where a lot of people died in this high rise.
Yeah.
They had no sprinkler system.
Yeah.
You know, and he said, okay, this is it. We don't need that here in Florida. Right? But guess who were the ones talking in Tallahassee? The attorneys, the managers, and all the people. You know, these people don't pay for it. But if the owners have to pay for it, there's less money for the attorneys and the managers to share.
There needs to
they
be.
They don't care about the safety of these people living there.
We're coming in post-construction and trying to refurbish and redo the building. This should be done at the first shovelful. We need to make sure that whatever we're doing is being done right from the very, very beginning, when it's being built and it's being built properly. You can't come up with cardboard and scotch tape and then go, oh, this is garbage. We need to make it
safe. Yeah, but you know who already screams bloody murder? The developers.
I don't care. I really
enjoy it. Neither do I, but don't forget. They have a big voice because they have big money.
They can scream bloody murder all they want, but we'll take these pictures. Mr. Developer, you built this piece of garbage. Here it is. We'll put your name on it. Is this what you want? Or would you rather have something that's really nice? That your name is on something.
Right. And, you know, we already hear the discussion. You know, we suggested that reserve funds are starting to be paid at the day of a certificate of occupancy. Right. That means we may have to pay for reserve funds. Can you imagine? Horrible, you know, disgusting, you know. But then you always read in the papers, you know, this building will be constructed in 2023, right?
Right.
But all but three units are already sold out, right? So. Why are they scared about reserve funds? Because if everything is already sold out, before they even started building. They even haven't cleared the site yet. You know, it's all BS. You know, and then they always find some owners who they take to Tallahassee who are dumb enough to testify against their own interests.
Yeah. No, I've seen that happen. Busfuls of them coming in, being propped up by CAI and being told what to say. And they come in and they look at the list of speakers and they see Frank and they see me and they go, oh, shut
it. Yeah, well, they don't wanna see. We have similar issues too. You know, but you know what really annoys me is the fact that exactly these people, you know, who fight us year for year in Tallahassee, are now the ones who all predicted something like that would be happening. You know, Tom Skiba was at the site. I hope he realized what he and his lobbyists did when refusing to accept mandatory reserve funds, mandatory engineering reports done by specialists and reserve studies. That's what we wanted in the bill, and they repealed it in 2010 because they considered it too burdensome. And, you know, you have to leave these board members a decision-making power.
That's what Skippy was saying.
We saw the result of all these decision-making powers.
Jan, that's what Skippy was down there talking about?
Yeah.
No,
he wasn't talking about, but, you know, he claimed, oh, this shouldn't happen and blah, 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 blah. What I said, in that moment, he should have thought about it, what actually he and his people did that kind of helped causing this issue. That's my opinion. You know, I wonder that he can sleep at night.
They have a lot of reserve study people in CAI. I mean, these are the people that are they're supposed to be working for and ensuring that they're getting a good job, because that's, you know, that's what their job is. That's what they are. They want their people.
You're right, but the main people of the CAI are the association attorneys. Their will and their money comes first. And everybody else is in reality a welcome guest, sharing the fee, and if we feel like it, we give you some breadcrumbs helping your cause. You know, like reserve studies and other, you know, site service providers. You know, The calls are being made by the attorneys, period. You know, that's how you see these attorneys.
Yeah.
When you at the committee hearings in Tallahassee, when the bills are discussed, they are the ones talking, you know. And, hey, you know, it's their profession. You know, how do you know when an attorney lies, you know?
Lips are moving. Yeah.
You know? So they will tell you all the things, you know, they think sound good and impresses the legislators. And the legislators are only too happy in many cases to do it because they're the ones who give them the big campaign fund checks.
Exactly. And you'll see them, pictures with them at cocktail parties and all kinds
right.
of things.
You know, here you see the legislators, you know, a big donor giving him one of these big, huge checks,
yeah.
you know, for $10,000.
Yeah.
You know what would happen to both of them in Germany?
What?
They would share a cell.
They would what?
They would share a cell in jail.
Oh, they'd share a cell in jail. What, because it's $10,000 or because...
No, because campaign funds, the donating campaign funds is against the law. Period. End of story.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, my phone wouldn't ring if it wasn't for campaign funds. It starts ringing in the morning, goes all day long.
You know, you get about 50% of the calls a day are either scams or please donate.
Yes, they want money. Beggars. I call them beggars. I'm working for such and such a person who's running for such and such a position, and we need money because we've reached our goal, and we haven't reached our goal, and we can't let the opposition win. And oh my God, you got to do this! And Jesus, give me a break.
Yeah, right. And you know, the weird thing is they can even keep the money if they don't spend it all.
Yeah. And the,
or they hire their husband, you know, and pay him $10,000 for doing nothing.
Yep. Yep. It's pretty bad.
So make sure it stays in the family, the money, you know.
And they won't do anything. They'll just collect the money, have volunteers making the calls.
Right.
They have the
create so-called firms in order, you know, to make it look like, you know, the campaign's funds were paid to a firm that supported the campaign one way or the other.
Yeah.
That's how they do it.
Yeah. It's a scam. It's a sham. I pick up the phone. It's out of area. And they'll come up with this thing, and I go, oh, no, I know that script. You all use the same one. Can't you come up with something else?
Oh,
goodbye.
You get the telephone calls, you know. Oh, you know, I call you from the Bank of America because somebody used your account there. You know, hey, you dummy know that I don't even bank with the Bank of America, you idiot.
It doesn't matter. You have money here, and we're going to protect it for you.
Right, you know. Yeah, but I still wonder how people fall for it.
They do. They do amazing.
Yes, they do. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it.
It's unbelievable.
You know, we have here in our little town, we have an office. And, you know, not to be racist, but the people manning this office have issues speaking English. Right? But they will call you and say, oh, somebody abused your Amazon account, and if you don't do something immediately, they will charge you $600 for something they bought, right? You know, how stupid can you be?
You know what? Those are the people that run for the board. I got a call yesterday, and I answered it. This is Dominion, our electric company. We're going to shut down your electricity in half an hour because you didn't pay the bill. Now, my husband works remotely. He's on the computer. He's on a Zoom call, on a Zoom meeting. I'm not going to interrupt him. I know damned well he's paid the bill, so I just hang up.
No, I tell them something, and I can't repeat what I tell them on the radio show, believe me.
No, because I'd have to delete it or lose my radio show, so I don't want to
Right.
I don't want to do that. But Jan,
because I am so sick and tired of all these spam calls. It's not even funny. But the thing is, it is against the law. But, again, no enforcement. Everybody knows that there's an office in the middle of the town which does these calls, right? They call you from a local telephone number. When you return this call,
it's not that
the person
either.
Said, no, I never called you. Why should I call you?
Yeah.
Who are you? You know, there are these spoofed numbers.
Yeah.
You know, and you can find how to do it on the internet.
Yes, you can. But you know what? We're out of time, Jan.
That should be taken care of. You know, we need law enforcement and real law enforcement, and not the kind of BS we're sometimes getting here.
I agree with you. But you know what, Jan? We are out of time.
Okay, well, sorry about that.
Me too. I enjoyed having you on. I enjoyed talking about all of this. I really, really hope that we discover exactly what caused this. I know there are a lot of issues. I know there are a lot of problems. And it would seem to me that if it's construction defects, that they should be watching that right from the very beginning and not coming in along many, many years later going, ooh, there's a crack in the floor. It's a construction defect. We have to fix it.
Well, we already know that the developer of that tower was from Canada, and the Canadian authorities were looking for him with a warrant.
Oh,
And we know that the architect who did this building had lost a few years earlier his license for doing things that shouldn't have been done. So his license was, for a time being, suspended. So you obviously dealt with real expert putting this thing together in the first place.
See, that's where we need to start. You can't come in after the fact.
Yeah, right. But, you know, we can't revive the dead people.
No, you can't revive.
You know,
exactly.
What we need to do is
prevent,
stop things or create things that will prevent it from happening again.
I agree. That's the whole point, Jan.
You know, you should learn from history.
That's the whole point.
History. It's done.
That's why
the building is erased. But now we should learn from it so it doesn't happen to another one. You know that they're now suddenly in South Florida all busy, you know, closing down condos and evacuating the people because now they're suddenly unsafe?
Yeah. I read about it last week.
Three condo buildings in Miami were closed down and evacuated. And they all had reports which were dated back to 1819 and so on.
Jan,
and nothing ever was done. Now they suddenly all get busy.
We have to go, Jan. Thank you so much.
Okay, sorry about that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, come on.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.